big up all the teachers. Time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You had better wake them up. Get them up, get them going. It is Wednesday on B&E. They drag you up over the hump Wednesday. It is time to start turning our attention to the games of this coming weekend. Obviously, Monday and Tuesday, spent a lot of time recapping the games of the previous weekend. Now it's time to start looking forward. Texas and Rice coming up on Saturday. It's the Longhorns' final tune-up ahead of Big 12 conference play. They'll have a new starting quarterback, and we'll hear from that new starting quarterback this morning, Casey Thompson, and will make his first start as a Longhorn. And we got the chance to visit with him yesterday on a Zoom call, a media availability. So we'll hear from Casey, great young man, and I think fans will like hearing from him as he takes over for Hudson Card, at least this week. We'll see if that ongoing quarterback battle continues. We've also got to the Cowboys this weekend with the L.A. Chargers. The Cowboys already dealing with adversity. Just one game into the season with confirmation of Lael Collins' suspension, which we'll tell you about here coming up. And we'll get into the week of the NFL. We also got Major League Baseball hitting its absolute stretch run. We've got a lot of great stuff on this Wednesday morning to get you going. It is the 15th of September. We're excited to be here. Bucky Godbolt out this morning. He has got some personal business to deal with today. Of course, Bucky revealed last week his wife Joyce flew to Florida for a medical procedure. Now there's a follow-up to that. So Buck will be taking care of that this morning with his lovely wife Joyce. So we'll man the ship. Isaiah Collier is here, and we have a lot to do. Great guest lineup. We'll talk to Ari Temkin at the bottom of the hour, our Cowboys insider, or one of our Cowboys insiders. Of course, Cowboys Radio Network. Talk about the boys. Also a little Big 12 football in there as well with Ari. We'll talk to our friend Brian Davis from the Austin American Statesman this morning. We've got it locked and loaded throughout the course of this Wednesday morning. Isaiah Collier is here. And Zay, I saw where the TV ratings for the NFL weekend one, up 17% from last year. I mean, it was gangbusters this weekend. Most watched game of the weekend, you probably could imagine, would guess would be the Cowboys game of last Thursday night, which was just a hell of a football game, 31-29. Buccaneers pulled it out at the end with that last-second field goal. But it drew 26.5 million viewers on NBC. It's the most watched first game of the season in 6 years. With that game. And
damn,
yeah. Then the 16 games that were played, whether they were Thursday, Sunday, Monday, averaged, over 17 million viewers, which is way up, a 7% increase over last season. Obviously, last year dealing with empty stadiums and the pandemic and kind of a weird time. But everybody was eager to get back to watching football. Heck, the Monday night game last night, or two nights ago, with the Vegas Raiders and Ravens, with the most watched Monday night football game in week one, since 2013, Zay.
Wow.
Yeah. The fans were in. Now, normally, or in recent years, I can't remember if they did it last year, the Monday night game featured double headers, right? They would do
those were terrible.
Yeah, they'd do the early game. They would kick like 5:30, 6 o'clock. Then they'd have a later game, and with the backup broadcast crew would typically do that late game.
It was always San Francisco or Oakland.
Yeah, they'd do a West Coast game, of course, to get into that time zone for the later game. But this year, 2021, they go with just one game. And, you know, the NFL, they were good matchups. I mean, gosh, you had the Cowboys, Bucks on week on Thursday night. The dud of the weekend was the Packers and the Saints, which was kind of America's game of the week. And, of course, the Saints just beat the daylights out of the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers looked lost, and that one was not good. But the Chiefs and Browns played a heck of a game. Even the Sunday night game with the Rams and the Bears was a good game till the fourth quarter. It was 20-14, and then the Rams scored a couple of fourth-quarter touchdowns to stretch it out and go and win at 34-14. But it was a closer game than that. Just good stuff in the NFL Weekend 1. More to come. We have 16 more weeks of that because, of course, it's a 17-week season in 2021. So just getting started, Zay.
Does that alter your fantasy league in
any
way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got to play. Yeah, you've got to add an extra week, essentially, and you'll just, typically you'll start your playoffs week 14 to get ahead of, you don't want to be playing playoff games, championship games on week 17 of a regular season when teams are, resting players and whatnot. So you just stretch it out, but you still try to finish your entire, you'll try to wrap up your fantasy football league by week 17.
Okay.
Not 18 this year, because there's 18 weeks. Remember, right, there's bye weeks and 17 games, so you want to be done with your league by week 17.
Okay, so yeah. A little bit more strategizing then, huh?
Yeah, so so there we go. But you took in a lot of NFL football, a lot of college football as well. It's just good to have it back. And I will say, as we all experienced last year, sports and certainly football without fans is a different animal. I do like the commercial ESPN was running on the Monday night game when they opened the door and the sound guy, you know, was doing like the fake crowd sound. I don't know if you saw this, and said, oh, you can go home now. You can leave now because we have packed houses again, which is great. There's no question college football and pro football is a better product on television when there's a crowd and people are going nuts and the ambiance is genuine, not manufactured.
Yeah, I loved it. I still don't appreciate overweight men in the stands with their shirt off, but it's glad to see people in the stands.
They were back, and it was good. Yeah, up almost 20% across the board in the NFL. So we'll talk some NFL, teams that flex their muscles in week one and teams that did not. And certainly we'll talk Longhorns. This is, as we say, Tuesday's a turn-the-page Tuesday where we really do a deep dive on the Longhorns and where they are, parse through Steve Sarkisian's game week news conference and what we can glean from it. And then Wednesdays, clean the slate, move forward. On to Rice is what it's all about, and on to week three of the college football weekend. So we'll do just that and get you ready. We've got a lot to do. Let's start with your headlines, trending topics as you're up and out on this Wednesday morning, things you need to know. UBO Business Services brings you the news, and we'll start with Texas football. 1-1 Longhorns now turning their attention squarely to the Rice Owls. It's their final tune-up game ahead of Big 12 conference play. Horns, of course, will play and host Texas Tech a week from Saturday. And on Monday, head coach Steve Sarkisian did announce the redshirt junior, Casey Thompson, will be the starting quarterback. And a lot of fans may not know, it'll be his first time to start a game as a Longhorn. Been on campus 4 years now. Thompson revealed yesterday this will be his first start since high school back in 2017 when he was a senior at Newcastle High School in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
I'm excited. I've waited a long time for this opportunity. And I don't know, I just think it's a testament to perseverance and hard work. And I'm excited for this team and the opportunity that we have to bounce back and to continue to push forward and press on towards the goals that we still have at hand.
Thompson, of course, has played in the fourth quarter of each of the Longhorns' first two games of the season, has played well, made the most of it, led the Longhorns to points on four of the five drives, and of course, he stepped in for Sam Ellinger in the second half of last December's Alamo Bowl against Colorado and was nearly flawless. 8 of 10 passes he completed, 170 yards, 4 touchdowns, leading the Longhorns to that blowout win over the Buffaloes. Texas and Rice kicks off this Saturday, 7 o'clock. Our double-barrel pregame coverage goes live from Bevo Boulevard and the Texas Tail Garden at 3 o'clock all across the Austin Radio Network and right here on the Horn. A week into the NFL season, Cowboys have already been dealt a blow with confirmation yesterday from Jerry Jones that starting right tackle Lael Collins has indeed been suspended for 5 games for violations of the league's substance abuse policy. On his weekly radio show on 105.3 The Fan, Jones said that Collins will not appeal. Also revealed that second-year tackle Terrence Steele would replace Collins during that suspension. Team will have all-pro right guard Zach Martin back this week. That's good. He was removed from the COVID list yesterday, but defensive end Randy Gregory was added to that COVID-19 list. He reportedly tested positive. Cowboys will be in L.A. this week to face the Chargers. Game kicks at 3:25. You'll hear it live here on the Horn. Austin FC back on the pitch tonight at Q2 Stadium. They welcome the LAFC to the Capital City for the second time this summer. That match will kick at 8 o'clock tonight. It'll be the third meeting overall with L.A. They've taken the first two games by the same 2-0 score. 11 games left in the regular season. Austin is in last place in the Western Conference with 19 points. Baseball last night, Rangers pounded the first-place Astros up in Arlington 8-1. Texas tagged Houston starter Zach Greinke for all 8 runs. Greinke making his first start since his battle with COVID. Ranger rookie slugger Adolis Garcia tied the team's single-season rookie home run record. He hit his 30th long ball last night, one of three park hoppers for the Rangers last night. Also last night, L.A. Dodgers clinched a spot in the NL playoffs with a win over Arizona. They joined the San Francisco Giants, who clinched a spot on Monday. Round Rock wrapped up their series with Sugarland with a 6-3 loss to the Yankees.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so good stuff there in the headlines. We'll get into the Cowboys. Ari Temkin will join us at the bottom of the hour. Of course, our a fixture here in our 6 o'clock hour, 6:30. We'll talk to Ari about that Cowboys situation. Jerry Jones confirming that Lael Collins will not play, not even appeal. And as we found out yesterday from some reporting up in Dallas, that this was about missed tests, that he's missed up to 7 scheduled tests, and at that point there's a suspension. But he's been tested a lot. I mean, he's tested all the time, but he missed 7 of those, and that means the Cowboys are going to lose their right tackle, and that's a big deal. I mean, I was thinking and wondering out loud during the last couple of days whether the Cowboys would move Zach Martin to right tackle and keep Connor McGovern in there at right guard. I thought McGovern acquitted himself very well last Thursday night in that game with Tampa Bay when he was up against Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea, and I thought he did a nice job. Didn't get overwhelmed by that moment, and you know, the Cowboys nearly won that football game, and McGovern showed out pretty well. But you know, they're going to go with Terrence Steele and put, at least at this point, according to Jerry Jones, put Zach Martin back at right guard, move Terrence Steele, the undrafted second-year man out of Texas Tech. He's going to man the right side. And, you know, this week it's Joey Bosa and the San Diego Chargers, the L.A. Chargers in L.A., and that's, you know, one of the better pass rushes in the AFC. And, of course, all four teams in the NFC West, AFC West won their games this past weekend. So that'll be a big challenge for Terrence Steele and the Cowboys. But Zach Martin back. Randy Gregory now out for the Cowboys. We'll talk to Ari about all the things Cowboys here coming up. Also a little football in there in the Big 12 sprinkled in with AT. But you heard from Casey Thompson in the headlines. We've got more. Here's a nice text that says, how bad do you think Casey Thompson wants to beat OU? Can't wait to see what he can do. Yeah, that's kind of the fan sentiment. They're excited to see Casey. I think a lot of fans were rooting for Casey in the quarterback battle, and after what they saw him do in the Alamo Bowl and waiting his turn behind Sam Ehlinger, being a good teammate and ready to go. And obviously at the end of the day, when the season began, Hudson Card was the starting quarterback, and that was the decision of Steve Sarkisian. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning and listening to Casey Thompson yesterday, Zay. Maybe it took this. Maybe it took, you know, people have talked about Casey Thompson as a gamer, that maybe in practice his talents don't shine like Hudson Card, who can really spin it and looks the part and all those things. And then, you know, come game time, you got to move the team. You got to perform. You've got to lead the team, not just move the team and be the guy that people are looking to, you know, everybody looking around for somebody to make a play. Quarterback has to seize that opportunity and move the team. And I would be the last person to say it was all Hudson Card's fault on Saturday. There were a lot of guys not making getting things done on the offensive side of the ball. But when Casey did come in, it was mop-up duty in the fourth quarter, but he did look assertive, look confident, look like he was ready to make a play and whatever it took. You know, it could have been easy to mail that game in at 33-7, but Casey Thompson came in and played like it was the first quarter and played, as Steve Sarkisian likes to say, all gas, no brakes. He wasn't slowing down. And you know, led them to a couple of scoring drives. The second touchdown, the last touchdown of the game for the Longhorns, that got them to 21 points. Boy, he ran through three guys at the goal line, kind of lowered his shoulder, and I think that's part of this, that this offense needs a spark. You know, as they move into Big 12 play, they need a leader. That was pretty clear on Saturday night. They need someone that people can rally around, and he's easy to root for, Zay, Casey Thompson.
Yeah, real easy to root for. And if you rewind to, you know, a lot of his interviews before the season started, his confidence has always been there. Like, he's always felt like, hey, I should be the starter. And he always felt like, you know, one of the big leaders on this team. And with this offense and how, you know, shaky the offensive line is, maybe he's better look. You know, just because of what he could do on his feet and the fact that he is a gamer, I don't know if Hudson Card could get over the fact that the line has been so bad recently.
Yeah, and it wasn't great against Louisiana, but they overcame that. And then against Arkansas in that, you know, ferocious environment of Fayetteville, it just all fell apart. And, you know, I know a lot of Longhorn fans still wondering why Casey maybe didn't come in sooner. To maybe save the deal when it was still a ball game, but in the end, who knows how it would have gone? Casey may have suffered the same fate in that game. We will never know that. But in the end, I agree with you that Casey's been a good teammate. Here is, you know, this is our first conversation. He did a media availability yesterday. Casey Thompson did. It's our first time to speak and hear from Casey since the decision that Hudson Card was going to start the season as a starting quarterback against Louisiana and then again at Arkansas. And here was Casey Thompson yesterday when asked how he felt when he found out that he didn't win the starting job.
Well, like I said, I literally just try to focus on one day at a time. And so, you know, the day that I found out that I was not going to be named the starter, obviously I took that with a grain of salt. And, you know, I said, I'm going to let this hurt and I'm going to let this motivate me. And, you know, I turned my phone off and, I called my family and I watched TV. I watched some football games. I watched some more film, watched a few movies, kind of just relaxed. And then, like I said, I woke up on Monday morning and I said, I'm gonna make this a positive. I'm going to let God use me and use my work ethic and my perseverance through this test.
Yeah, that is exactly what you want to hear from a competitor right there, Zay. It stung. Stung like hell. I mean, you know, he's been on this campus 4 years now. This is his fourth year at Texas. He waited and was a good backup for Sam Ehlinger. And, you know, in the end, when you have that conversation, you played sports at a high level today playing basketball. you know, sometimes somebody beats you out, and you can do all you can. All you can do is control you, but can't control the coach's decision on that front. But says it stung, turned his phone off, and went back to work. He did reveal that he's watching Leonardo DiCaprio movies, too, that he's a big fan of Leo. Favorite Leo movie is Inception and The Revenant.
Oh, man, that's my joint.
That's intense, man. I've seen The Revenant one time, and that is all I need. I don't need to do The Revenant again. I think there are some movies that anytime they're on, I'm watching them. I'll just, you know, it's like cotton candy. It's just keep coming. You know, Shawshank Redemption jumps to mind. There's several others. But The Revenant with Leo DiCaprio, I'm good. I've seen that one once. Saw the whole thing 3 hours deep and sweated through the whole thing. And I'm good. I don't need to see it again.
It's ironic that with how many movies Leo has done throughout his career, the movie where he's talking the least and just grunting the most, that's where he wins his Oscar or whatever award you win for movies.
Yeah.
Like, he's just grunting and, you know, hurt the whole time. And, oh, give him his Oscar, whatever.
Hey, man, that's a good actor right there. But, yeah, I think we all can relate to that. You got to, you know, you get a bad piece of news that you can't control. You just, what are you going to do? And, you know, you try to take some alone time a little bit, deal with it. And as he said, you know, come back to work on Monday, working harder. And coming up here real quick, I want you to hear Casey Thompson. He was asked yesterday about did he consider the transfer portal, which, you know, a lot of worry through August camp that if Casey didn't get the job that he'd seek to head out. We'll let you hear from Casey on that, his answer. But I want to say about our friends at Diamonds Direct. Hey, get over to Diamonds Direct now. The window is open for that 0% interest, no financing situation for 5 years at Diamonds Direct. This is an unheard of situation, and it comes at Diamonds Direct, which I tell you all the time is the best jewelry store in the world. It's got those amazing low prices, all the best diamonds and jewelry. It's what they're known for. And every once in a while, they open the window on this opportunity to get to pay nothing down, spread your payments out over 5 years with zero interest, and really get that perfect engagement ring if you've been thinking about it. Maybe it's not going to be till the new year you want to do it, but do it now during this 5 year zero interest. Take whatever the price tag is, divide it by 60, and that is your monthly price. And there's no penalty for paying it off sooner than 60 months. Doesn't matter. There won't be any interest on that that beautiful piece of jewelry for 5 years. So engagement ring, great anniversary gift, great Christmas gift. And think about it, those $4,000 pair of diamond earrings, that's, you know, four grand on the sticker price. That's going to be $67 a month. It's all it's going to cost you to pay those things off over 5 years. And she gets the exact thing she wants for Christmas, for a birthday, for an anniversary, whatever it might be. But it's only for a limited time. So get into Diamonds Direct and see them. They're in the Domain, right next to Dick's Sporting Goods. They're online at DiamondsDirect.com. It's where Austin gets engaged. All right, Zay, let's hear Casey Thompson on the transfer portal. When you just heard him say when he didn't get the starting job originally. And, you know, it stung. It hurt. But it was time to go back to work, and then asked, would you ever think about moving on?
I mean, for me at this point, like I told you guys before, I'm very thorough in my thought process and my approach to things. But, I mean, at this point, I'm already in this thing, and I've waited my opportunity, and I've waited so long. It's like there's no way that I could just quit and let up at this point. So my thought process was, it hurt for a second, and I'm going to let it sting. But I'm going to wake up the next day. Literally, I took a day to kind of, you know, think about it and soak it all in. And then as soon as the Monday comes around, I just woke up and I went back to work. And I said, no matter what happens, I'm going to be ready to play. And I'm going to take this thing over when the opportunity presents itself. And so that was my thought process and kind of my mindset going through it. It was just trust the process, like I said, and just continue to persevere and work hard. And my mindset was, you know, if I'm not going to get named week one and it's not going to be given to me, then I have to go take it myself. And I have to show my teammates that I'm just going to continue to work hard and be the best I can be every day. So that's the attitude I'm having with it.
Exactly what you want to hear from a quarterback right there. A competitor is what you're looking for. Instead of whining and taking his ball and going home, Zay, he said, look, next time I get my chance, I'm going to win that job. And it was fuel for him, which, you know, we'll see. Maybe it's what it took. Maybe, you know, and again, I got to go with Steve Sarkisian and give him credit that he played that position at a high level in college and for a while in the pros. He's been around a lot of quarterback battles, Steve Sarkisian. And, you know, clearly, at least I have to trust him, that he just didn't see from Casey what he needed to see for the quarterback battle through spring and into the fall camp. And maybe it took this for it all to come forward, and we'll see. And look, maybe this shifts back. Maybe Casey struggles at times, and we're back to Hudson Card. But I do like that Casey Thompson's going to get his opportunity to carpe diem, Zay, to seize the day and seize the opportunity after waiting his turn.
Yeah, yeah, I love his motivation and how he just kept his head down and said, I'm going to keep working. And that shows a lot to the locker room, and that shows a lot to the coaching staff, because you're always locked in. And he wasn't necessarily dissing Hudson Card by saying, I'm going to take over the team when the time's right. He's just being honest and true to himself, and I really respect that out of him.
Agreed. We'll hear from Casey Thompson later, too, when he does this change his prep. Game week prep from starter to backup. Also to hear Casey Thompson, the new starting quarterback at Texas, saying that he wanted to show his teammates. That's the important thing. And, you know, we'll probably maybe say you can pull it, because available yesterday was Casey Thompson and Bijan Robinson. And Bijan was asked about the quarterbacks, and he actually said that in the game, he said you could kind of feel like that Hudson was a little jittery. Hudson was a little unsure in that situation. And then he said when Casey came in, he was absolutely certain, and it was just a different feel in the huddle. We'll let you hear that from Bijan Robinson. So, obviously, it was tangible for the players, too, that, one guy was providing a little bit more leadership. And, you know, that's kind of, I think, not unexpected for a redshirt freshman like Hudson Card in his first start on the road in an environment like that when things aren't going well and what was planned to work wasn't working. You've never been in that spot, and I don't think Hudson Card handled it very well or managed it very well. And in the end, it may have cost him the starting job, but it's a learning experience for him as well, just like not getting the starting job out of camp, a learning opportunity for Casey Thompson. And you just heard him say right there he used it as fuel to earn this job back, and we'll see how he does in his first ever start at Texas coming up on Saturday night against the Rice Owls. All right, so more Texas football coming, more from Casey Thompson and the players as they now turn their attention to Rice. We'll also hear our buddy Ari Temkin coming up. Always good to talk to AT. He's from the Cowboys Radio Network and SiriusXM Radio. His thoughts on the Lael Collins suspension. How impactful is that for the Cowboys over these next five games? You're going to see some really good pass rushers, including Joey Boza on Sunday as they get ready for game number two. Craig Way has a Craig Way report coming as we roll through a Wednesday on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Largest delivery network. Introducing USPS Connect. You want reach? We go there. You want easy? We make returns simple. You want fast? We deliver same day. Move your business forward with the United States Postal Service. Let's connect at USPSConnect.com. Specific markets, restrictions apply. Same day expected with entry close to final destination. It's Bucky and Aaron.
A lot of great text response and response on social media and our audio from Casey Thompson, the new starting quarterback at Texas for the Rice game. Says, go Casey. Love the attitude. Says Casey makes, someone says Casey definitely makes it hard not to root for him. Great teammate, competitor, and person. Good to hear him. Another one says, hard to not root for Casey Thompson. Casey also revealed yesterday he likes Leonardo DiCaprio movies, so we'll put that out there. Your favorite Leo movie. He says Inception, which I have not seen Inception, Zay. I don't believe. I have to go look that up. I don't think I have, but he also said The Revenant, which is, golly, I think I'm going to wring out the wash rag watching that thing. Zay, do you have a favorite Leo flick?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to go down the list.
Yeah, there's so many.
Yeah.
He's been doing it a long time, all the way back to What's Eating Gilbert Grape, right? Remember way back then?
Yeah. Probably,
yeah, I mean, this guy's been doing it for a long, long time and at a high level. So we'll take your thoughts on that. And coming up for the top of the hour, we'll start, as we say, turn the page on a Wednesday to the week that's coming. Best matchups of the college football weekend, best matchups of the NFL weekend. Also, I missed a 30 for 30 that aired last night that I just saw was on. I could have watched it, and I didn't. I got to let you know. I got to see this one. Did you happen to watch it last night?
No, I missed it.
Dang
but it. I know it's going to take you back.
Oh my gosh! I just now saw a flash that I missed that last night. I'll tell you what that was here coming up. First, though, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, a frequent visitor here on our 6 o'clock hour before he has to go to work and do his thing for SiriusXM Radio and for the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. He is our buddy Ari Temkin. AT, how are you, man?
What's going on? How are you?
Hey, man, do you have a favorite Leonardo DiCaprio film that jumps into your head?
I mean, Catch Me If You Can is one that sticks out.
There you go.
Sure. You know, there's so many good ones. I feel like after, like, he was like a teenage heartthrob in Titanic, and then after that he became kind of like a male heartthrob to a certain degree, you know, where he was just in so many great movies and such a great actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's Inception is that's a weird movie. I think it's like one of those movies where you're like, I think what I'm watching is cool, but I'm not sure. I'll have to watch it again and then read about it for like 2 hours to figure out if what I'm watching is actually pretty cool. Yeah. Like a dream within the dream. It's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of conference realignment a little bit.
Oh, you're still trying to figure it all out, right? I mean, I'm not sure. What did I just watch? What did I just see with Leo? And that's kind of why, that's probably a sign of a great actor, is that he, you know, if you ask 100 people, you'd probably get 100 different answers, which means he's played a lot of great roles and had a lot of great characters. I saw on Ranker.com that the fans have ranked his favorite character as Frank Abagnale Jr. You said it, the Catch Me If You Can character from back in the day, the classic there. All right, let's start with the Cowboys here, talking Dallas. Obviously, a lot to like about the opener, but it's a loss. And I know Cowboy fans will think, man, a close loss, we're on our way to the Super Bowl. And there was a lot to really enjoy about that team. But then here comes the first blow, Lael Collins, 5 games out. With the, you know, the missed drug test or whatever it was. Jerry Jones confirmed that yesterday on 105.3 The Fan. How big of a blow is that for you? And, you know, go ahead and opine on what you saw in week one for the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's a significant blow. You know, Terrence Steele, the undrafted free agent tackle out of Texas Tech, who struggled at points last year as a rookie, is going to start at right tackle. You know, we've seen McCarthy go to Zach Martin at right tackle. It seems like he'll be available here. Based on what we saw from Connor McGovern in week one, I think that's your best option, to go with Martin at right tackle and Connor McGovern at right guard. But we'll see. Steele certainly looked better and more credible towards the end of the year last year, but Jared Bosa's on one side of the defensive line there. So, yeah, it's a tough matchup for him. And again, I'd go Martin at right tackle, McGovern at right guard. I think McGovern's really good, but we'll see what happens. In terms of the game, I don't know when this happened. It certainly has happened over the last decade, but the moral victory Cowboys, I don't get it. Everybody's reaction, you know, Cowboy fan or Cowboy hater alike, is like, well, they look pretty good. And it's like, I don't know. It's just bizarre to me. Like, this is a team that won titles, a lot of them, and is up there in the list of championships in NFL history. And yet here we are talking about, oh, they look good. I mean, they're supposed to beat these teams. If they're a championship team, they're supposed to, you're going to play the Buccaneers in the playoffs. You got to beat them. And they were +3 in the turnover margin. You know, they had plenty of opportunities to win this football game and didn't. I don't know what people expected this team to be this year, but what I saw on Thursday was exactly what I expected. Dak Prescott's really good. The offense is really good. The defense is not. So, you know, the, maybe people weren't sure that Prescott was going to be back and fully healthy and whatnot, but I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised that the full-on reaction that everybody's given me is, well, I mean, they looked good on a good day. You know, McCarthy continues to befuddle me. I think when you're an underdog on the road against defending Super Bowl champions and you got an offense as explosive as they have, kicking a field goal from the 3-yard line is probably not the best option. Also, not entirely certain you should give the football back to Tom Brady in that situation. I understand kicking the field goal to go ahead on a 4th and 6, but you're either losing now or you're losing later. So which one is it? I just like to see him be more aggressive with the offense that he has. You know, maybe the kick of the field goal from the 3 was the more egregious one. But I mean, in that situation, you had a great play call where you got Zeke Elliott out in space with Lee Blocker and Blake Jarwin, your tight end, just missed the block. And then I think you run that play again and on 4th down or something else, your best 2-point conversion. But, I mean, I guess I wasn't as enthused by the outcome as maybe everybody else was.
Well, I think hearing you say that, you're right. I mean, that's a game they should have won. I mean, your opponent, you mean you had almost 500 yards of offense. Your opponent had 4 turnovers and had 11 penalties. And you know, that's a game you got to go ahead and win. And they did not.
Right.
But I think the bar, because of what we saw last year, was pretty low. And so for a lot of fans, it was above the bar that they had seen a year ago. So there's optimism. But you're exactly right. That's a game they may look back on and say, man, we should have stole that one when the Buccaneers made a lot of mistakes of their own. But they still had Tom Brady at the end. Do you think, I mean, I know they've invested a lot in Zeke Elliott. And I know one of our main conversations on Friday morning was, you know, just like 11 touches for Zeke Elliott. I mean, he only had five in the first half. He did a great job, I will point out, in pass protection. I thought he did a heck of a job picking up blitzes, allowing Dak Prescott to throw for 400-plus yards. But that's a high-priced pass protector, Ari, when you know he's making the ticket that he is and only getting that many touches. But was that a one-game situation where they felt like they could attack that Buccaneers secondary and didn't want to mess with the run game? Or you think that's what we're going to see from Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott this year, which is let's throw it and we're not going to feature our running game?
Yeah, and I mean, not only did Kellen Moore not call a ton of run plays, but I think half of the run plays he did call, Dak Prescott audibled out of into pass plays. And so I think, look, it's smart, you know, don't run into stacked boxes, you know, don't, you know, take advantage of situations you have, you know, with your passing game when those present themselves. You know, I do think there will be opportunities for Zeke over the course of this season, you know, where they're going to, teams are going to bring in extra help in coverage against Dak. And I think those are situations where they will try to run the football. So I think it's, you know, a game by game basis here. You know, and I'd like to see them mix in Tony Pollard as well, because I like what he's able to do. So, yeah, I mean, I think 11 touches is probably is the low end of what you'll see this season. But I think it shows that a willingness to, you know, basically not try to, you know, jam your head into the wall and figure out what you're giving, what they're giving you, and take it. I just also couldn't help but watch Jalen Ramsey on Sunday night against the Bears just absolutely dominate defensively and think, what could have been for the Cowboys, you know, had they drafted him many, many years ago. But obviously, they made the mistake by drafting the running back there and made the even worse mistake by signing him to a long-term deal, but they're already here. I do find it funny, you know, people rip DeMarcus Lawrence for how much money he makes. He is such a good player. He's such a dominant player. He played that way certainly more outwardly on Thursday night with some of the explosive plays that he had. But, you know, people want to complain about people making too much money. It's Zeke Elliott's the guy you complain about. I'm not willing to ever – you know, complain about guys making money. What are you gonna, you know, what are you gonna do? Not sign the contract if you're that guy. But you know, look, I Zeke Elliott's making more money against the cap this year than Patrick Mahomes. So,
well, that's good perspective.
Not a good move by the organization.
Yeah, it's still not a good move. And then I watched on Monday night the Baltimore Ravens, like fifth running back has 100 yards and a touchdown. They lost the game, but
right.
Tyson Williams came in, and you know, you can run the ball. You can find running backs out there who can come in and do that. And even though I do think Zeke is a good player, and I thought he was excellent in pass pro on Thursday night. It was the most watched.
No doubt.
It was the most watched Thursday night game since 2015. Everybody tuned in. It was a great weekend of ratings for the NFL. Ari Temkin is with us from the Cowboys Radio Network. You'll hear him on the broadcast on Sunday ahead of the Cowboys game and after the Cowboys game with the L.A. Chargers. In L.A., safe to say, Ari, there'll be more Cowboy fans in that arena, that beautiful new SoFi Stadium, than there will Charger fans, because I don't even know if there are Charger fans. But the Cowboys, since they train out there in Oxnard, and they're I mean, the Cowboys will likely have the home field advantage there.
I mean, it's their first game at SoFi with fans, and it's the worst possible matchup for them. A team that has no fans with a team that has a really well-embedded fan base in Southern California. Yeah, it's going to be all Cow. And there were a ton of Cowboy fans you could hear at the Buccaneer game.
Yeah.
Oh, they're in Tampa.
We know it's across the country, and then, you know, add to the fact that they've trained in California for so long and have built that fan base, they'll be showing up for sure at SoFi. 3:25 kick on Sunday. Ari, shift gears to put on your college hat, Big 12 hat. Longhorns going to Casey Thompson after a dreadful performance by Hudson Card and the whole offense at Arkansas. What was your bumper sticker read of that game and Sark's quick decision to go to Casey Thompson?
Yeah, 180 degrees from what we were talking about after the Louisiana game. I mean, it was just as well as everything looked against Louisiana, it looked that bad against Arkansas. I mean, they were really owned, I thought, on both sides of the ball and line of scrimmage. You know, it just looked like, okay, here's an SEC team, and here's one that's not, you know. And it, to me, it was just what it looked like up front. I mean, the fact that Arkansas ran the ball as effectively as they did. I mean, KJ Jefferson's not a great quarterback, but he didn't have to be. And that was kind of the story of the Dallas Cowboys last season. They just, you know, they did not make quarterbacks beat them. And that's, you know, I thought that was the biggest mistake in this game, was not, you know, was not forcing KJ Jefferson into a situation where he had to beat you. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's the only move you have to make if you're Sark, given that you said that this was as close of a quarterback battle as it was. You know, if he conceded the battle, you know, early on in fall camp and said, Hudson's our guy and we want to develop him, you know, then this is part of the development process, and I would see sticking with him. But, you know, you got to give Sark credit, I think, for, you know, acknowledging that he's made a mistake here and you know, not being stubborn and going with a guy that, you know, did not look very effective. I know Sark said that, you know, Hudson Card looked a little skittish and, you know, some of the things you expect to see with an inexperienced quarterback. And, you know, obviously Casey's as inexperienced in terms of snaps, you know, as a starting quarterback. But I just think the obvious part of the experience level that he has in being a part of this program and understanding defense is a little bit better. I think he gives you a little bit of a better look. And now the question is, you know, how long does Sark stick with Casey Thompson if he struggles? And, you know, how often are you flip-flopping between quarterbacks? Because I think we had so much optimism coming out of week one, where now you start to think of the high end of what our win totals were for this team. And then, you know, after week two, it's like reevaluating it back to, okay, is it 7 or 8 instead of 9?
Yeah.
So this is really, from Sark's perspective, the most intriguing subplot in the entire season is how he handles the quarterback situation.
From here on out, and I'm on record that I think Casey's going to play great this week against Rice, and I think he'll be the guy going into conference play the following week against Texas Tech. But we'll see. You know, the team certainly just feels like the team responds to Casey a little bit more, and to everything you just said about his experience coming into play in big spots, and that'll begin a week from Saturday against Texas Tech, and then in Fort Worth in 3 weeks, that'll be the next raucous environment the Longhorns will face on the road. Hey, Ari, thanks. Always appreciate it. Have a great show today on Sirius XM Big 12 today, and we'll certainly be listening on Sunday for the Cowboys coverage of the Chargers game. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you, E. Be well, brother.
All right, Ari Temkin. Good stuff right there. Yeah, not being stubborn with Steve Sarkisian, just making the move, kind of seeing with his own eyes what he needed to see. And this is my opinion. I'm not saying it won't go back to Hudson Card, but my sense is that they need to pick one quarterback. And this is what these three games were about, to let it reveal itself, because it didn't reveal itself enough in camp, practicing against yourselves. And now as you learn more and more about the team, I think all the coaches and certainly Steve Sarkisian kind of know what they need to be able to move the football and compete at the highest levels of the Big 12. And I think it's going to end up being Casey Thompson. But we'll all watch together and talk about it together. We'll come back. By the way, I think I've picked my favorite, I don't know if it's my favorite Leonardo DiCaprio movie, but a role he played that I think was my favorite of Leo. We'll put that out there. Also the 30 for 30 I missed last night. And we'll start to look forward to the games of the weekend. Best ones, college and pro. We'll dive in there as well. It's B&E on a Wednesday. People asking where Bucky is. Bucky's out this morning. He's got some personal business he's attending to, and we'll carry the mail. Isaiah Collier is here. Great guest lineup. And you, first, though, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Coming up top of the hour, we'll reset those headlines, including hear from Casey Thompson, his thoughts on getting his first start as a Longhorn. Also, Rangers and Astros last night. Rangers pounding lumps in the first-place Stros. And Austin FC back on the pitch tonight. We'll get a preview in our headlines next hour. Also, in our Coach's Corner next hour, we will hear from Chris Beard, Texas head basketball coach. We had a nice conversation with him yesterday. We'll pull some of the highlights. And we'll also hear more from Casey Thompson as we roll on a Wednesday. Hey, get you over the hump Wednesday. Bucky out this morning with some personal business with his wife. Bucky revealed last week that she had to fly to Florida for a medical procedure. That all went well. But some follow-up stuff today here locally. So Bucky's going to be there with her. So he'll be back tomorrow on a Buck Off Thursday. Isaiah Collier, man in the ship, and doing a great job there. All right, so here it is. I missed a couple notes. Actually, let's start with Leonardo DiCaprio. I think I've picked my favorite Leonardo DiCaprio role. This conversation stems from the fact that Casey Thompson, the Longhorn quarterback, said when he learned that he didn't win the starting job that he took a day, let it sting, and kind of distracted himself with some Leonardo DiCaprio films and some football because he likes Leo films. So we're putting that out there for you. I think my favorite role, and this could be recency bias because I think it's the last Leo movie I saw, but I thought his role in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was as good as I've seen him do. I mean, he's done a lot of great roles, but have you seen that, Zay? I didn't love the movie. I thought it kind of meandered, which is what a Quentin Tarantino film will do. It kind of is all over the place. But I thought his role in that was really good. I mean, playing the washed up old actor, you know, reliving old times and still living in the past. I thought his character there was really. I thought he did a tremendous job for that one.
See, it's been on my DVR for almost a year now, and I still haven't got around to it.
Rick Dalton, playing the used to be the has been actor in Hollywood. I thought he did a heck of a job in that, but he's played so many. I'm sure my wife, if you asked her, would say Jack Dawson in Titanic would be Jack Dawson back in the day. But all right, so we'll put that out there. And I was home last night. I didn't even know this was on. This is my mistake. But apparently last night a new 30 for 30 aired called Once Upon a Time in Queens. And it's all about, this is probably the sports team in my life that I loved to, that I hated so much, I almost liked them. And that was the 1986 New York Mets.
Really?
I was an Astros fan, and they beat the Astros in 1986, you have to remember, when the Astros had Mike Scott and Nolan Ryan, and it looked like they were on their way to the World Series, and the Mets, 1986, beat them. But apparently the 30 for 30, I mean, that I've always said, there's been books written about that team, that was the hardest partying team there ever was. I mean, that was the hardest partying sports team ever. I mean, I know the Cowboys of the 90s were pretty hard partiers, and the White House, and you know, the books that have been written about those teams with Michael Irvin and the rest. But, man, I mean, you're talking about Daryl Strawberry and Lenny Dykstra and Doc Gooden, the kid Gary Carter, Keith Hernandez. I mean, that team, I did not know that documentary debuted last night. I knew it was coming. I didn't see it, but I'm going to watch it, and I'm sure I'm going to love it. A buddy of mine texted me and said, we watched it, and you're going to love it.
How many fights did they get into that season?
100,
because that's all I remember from any of those.
Well,
teams.
So in 1986, I'm 14, growing up in Houston, huge Astros fan, and I don't know how many times the Mets got arrested when they came to Houston for bar fights. I mean, that like seemed like it was at every road trip into Houston, they'd get in a bar fight, or somebody would get arrested for something down like on Westheimer somewhere. You know, it was a mess, but they were damn good. I mean, they were a damn good team. Doc, that was the height of Doc Gooden, who was. Gosh, as far as dominant pitchers go, when he was his best, I mean, I know Pedro and Randy Johnson and Nolan, there have been some dominant pitchers, but Dwight Gooden, when he was 21, 22 years old, that dude was as unhittable as they come. Big Daryl Strawberry. Daryl Strawberry, 1986, they played the All-Star game in Houston. Roger Clemens started the game in his hometown just 2 years after leaving, or a little over 2 years after leaving Texas. Maybe three. And Daryl Strawberry in the home run derby, Zay, and I was there because I didn't go to the game itself. Went to the home run derby the day before because they used to do that the day before. They didn't do it the day of back then. He had a home run that hit a speaker in right field above the bleachers. And I swear if you go sit in that old Astrodome and I told you he hit that, you would say there is no way. You'd say from home plate, you'd say, yeah, he hit it. I mean, it had to be 550 feet, Daryl Strawberry. But yeah, and Lenny Dykstra, nails. I mean, I don't know that there's ever been a sports team that I loved to hate so much. So I can't wait to watch that.
As the great Rick James says, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
And they were all on it. They're Keith Hernandez. That was, maybe that's with the fuel to the world championship. Bill Buckner helped too on their way. But yeah, the Mets, 1986. Once upon a time in Queens. Can't wait to watch that. All right, we'll do more on Leo DiCaprio, more on the Mets. And we'll start looking at the big games of the weekend, college and pro football that are coming. There are some good ones. And I'm going to make a new rule for the NFL coming off a great week one. We got to institute this. We just do. It's B&E on the Horn. Coming right back. Live, local, and digital on your Horn app. And always at hornfm.com.